trust in you. Lord, we put our hope in you. We put all our trust in you. We put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. We put our hope in you.
Lord, you will deliver. You're a provider. I find my victory in you.
Forever,
forever victorious. Forever we win. I find my
Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me.
And God, I just want to introduce to you, saints, Reverend Daniel Ansa. Reverend, I greet you in the name of the Lord. I greet you in the name of Apostle and Pastor Maria, who are not with us right now. We're looking forward to your word, and we thank you for taking the time to spend with us on this important month for us in fasting and seeking the Lord. So if you're ready, sir, we look forward to hearing from you, and I'll join you at the end again, maybe for some prayer points that we can share together. Everyone, please give a hand to Reverend Daniel Ansa, if you're ready, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you so much. The Lord bless you for this opportunity. In the absence of Papa, really want to celebrate our daddy for such an awesome, awesome opportunity. I don't take it for granted at all. Daddy is dear to our heart, and I believe that is dear to your heart as well. So let's take a word of prayer shortly as we go into the service. Eternal Father, we want to bless your name. We want to thank you for such an awesome opportunity. We ask that may you breathe over your word and cause your word to come forth powerfully. I ask that through this word, may you heal the brokenhearted. Let somebody's life turn around. Let today, tonight be somebody's night of visitation. Let somebody have an encounter with you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I know I cannot hear you wherever you are, but I believe that you can hear me. So just say an amen to yourself wherever you are. There's a neighbor close by you. You can say an amen to that neighbor. The Lord bless you. I have a quick assignment, and I'm going to give a very sharp word tonight by the leading of the Spirit of God. My topic tonight, I'm speaking on the topic, the partnership of the Holy Spirit. The partnership of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, before I go into that, let me take a minute to appreciate the wonderful choir. That's awesome. I keep enjoying your songs every now and then. So the Lord bless you for that. awesome worship every now and then. My topic for tonight is the partnership of the Holy Spirit. The partnership of the Holy Spirit. And with this, my objective tonight, actually, number one, is to look at the details of our partnership with the Holy Ghost. And then number two, I would unveil the benefit of our partnership with the Holy Ghost. And then number three, I will look at how to sustain this benefit with the Holy Ghost. And if time permit me, I'm going to look at scriptural references. And again, I like making reference to my personal life as to how the partnership of the Holy Ghost has really helped me over the years. And so right into the word, I just want to begin by making this statement that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is the most important personality in the world today. The most important, yet the most ignored personality. It's the most charming, the most loving personality on the earth today, but yet he's the most talked about. He's the one that we don't often talk about. It's like he's the most rejected one. It's like oftentimes it's when we need him before we bring him to our homes. It's when we need him before we bring him to our houses. And when we need him is when we bring him into the corridors of our church. But I'm here to make a bold statement that the partnership of the Holy Ghost is what will take us to a world of exploits, to a world of breakthrough, to a world of no limit. It's the partnership of the Holy Ghost. In Numbers chapter 17, verse 8, there's an awesome scripture there, and I want to begin with that. It says that, in summary, it spoke about the children of God lamenting, and through that, God gave an instruction to Moses, and he said, Moses, let the children of Israel bring to me different kind of rods. And by the rods that they brought, what I'm going to do with each rod will determine who is qualified to be a priest. And when they brought all the rods before God, Bible said in Numbers 17 verse 8, they said on the morrow when Moses went before the Lord and looked at the rod, lo and behold, the rod of Aaron, all of a sudden, that rod has budded, and the rod has given birth, giving fruits to almond fruits. And that was an awesome. The rod was dry. The rod was just a simple stick. But the rod spent just a day in the presence of the Lord. And by spending a day in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden, that dry rod took on a living substance. That dry rod, all of a sudden, became a living thing. And overnight, the dry rod produced almond fruits. And I'm here to declare on the authority of that word that if we can spend time in the presence of the Lord, if we can hold on to the partnership of the Holy Ghost, I don't know whatever has been long-standing in your life, and I don't know what has been long-awaited battle, a long-awaited trouble, but I am here to declare that by the presence of the Holy Ghost, every situation can turn around in 24 hours. Every situation that looks impossible can turn around in 24 hours. If somebody is listening to me, let your amen be louder tonight. Tonight, I want somebody listening to me to hear me out, to hear me out. Oftentimes, when I preach somewhere, I always tell the people of God, but the Bible said the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent of faith takes it by force. That means this devil that we are dealing with is not a gentleman. We cannot be too cool and too quiet and still claim our right. If we are going to claim our right, we need to put in some pressure. We need to put in some aggression. We need to be a little bit violent, because the violent of faith takes it by force. So once I'm going into a message tonight, we'll be making some declarations. We'll be making some prophetic decrees. And by those prophetic declarations, and by those decrees, I know that some chains will be broken. some veils will be removed, and the victory will be won tonight. So partnership of the Holy Ghost, partnership of the Holy Ghost, partnership of the Holy Spirit, partnership of the Holy Spirit. And whilst I talk about this, I remember in my own life, last week I shared some few testimonies about how God has helped me. And the anchor of all those help, the anchor of all those testimonies, the anchor of all those steps of faith and the steps of obedience was hinged on the fact that long time ago, I made up my mind, I'm going to have a sweet walk with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to have a sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have a partnership with the Holy Spirit. But it didn't come that way. And so I just want to backtrack a little bit and to let the people of God in that I didn't begin this way. No, it wasn't like this. I wasn't this aggressive. I wasn't this submissive. I wasn't this obedient to God as I am now. But somewhere, somehow, I believe somewhere in 2001, I believe so well like yesterday, somewhere around March, all of a sudden, I'd gone to work, coming back home, and an evil wind blew over my life. I was coming, and I felt a headache. All of a sudden, I drove to the house, and I told everybody that I'm not feeling well. I went straight to bed, and by the next morning, part of my body is paralyzed. Just overnight, the evil wind that blew paralyzed part of my body. As if it was a dream of a night, we were just managing it. By the second day, the other part of my body is also paralyzed. And all of a sudden, we realized that this is a serious situation. Well, my mom carried me and everybody carried me to the hospital. We went to the hospital, doctors checked me, and I was in the clinic for about a week. All of a sudden, one day, one fine morning, the doctors came up, they called my mom, and they said, "Mother, how many kids do you have?" And my mother told them the number of kids they have. And the doctors looked at my mom and they said to him that, "You know what? We're going to advise you. Concentrate on the other kids. Because this your child, we are not sure he can make it. We are not sure he can." And my mom is a woman of faith. My mom said, "No, my son shall not die. But he shall live and declare the words of the Lord." And so the doctor said, "Well, if your son is going to die, we don't want him to die, thank you, Holy Spirit. We don't want to die in the hospital. So we want to give you a referral letter." So they gave my mom a referral letter from that clinic to a bigger hospital in Ghana. And we went to the bigger one. Lo and behold, on that fine morning when we got there, doctors were on strike. So the big hospital said, "You know what? Doctors are on strike. This, your case, is an emergency. It needs to be handled. But we don't have the team on ground to deal with the situation. So they refer me back to another hospital." We went to the hospital. They also said, "Because of the pressure coming from everywhere, we know your situation is dire. It's serious. It's critical. It needs to be handled. But we don't think that we can deal with this case." And they handed me over to the next hospital. And this time, it is the military hospital in Ghana. They do not go on leave. They don't go on strike. I beg your pardon. And so I was there, and they detained me. They admitted me there for 2 weeks. And each of the day whilst I was in the hospital, doctors would come by. They would look at my file. They would look at it, and they would look at me, and then they would pass on. Another doctor would come the next day, look at me, look at my file, and then they would pass on. And it went on like that for about 2 weeks. And one day, my godfather came to the hospital and then asked, "What is going on here?" So the administrator spoke to the administrator that, "I have a boy here. It looks like nobody is attending to this boy. But I want to find out why." So I was there in that unconscious state, and I saw this my godfather and the hospital administrators walk close to my bedside. They look at me lying down there helplessly, like a corpse. and they look at my hospital files, and they look at me again, and they turn. Later on, I was told that the hospital administrator said to my godfather, you know what? The reason why we come around, we look at the boy, look at the file, look at the boy, and look at the file, is that to us, we don't think that this boy is going to make it. But as to why he's still here, we don't know. But somewhere, somehow, we don't think that he's going to make it. And so out of anger and pain, my godfather and my mom said, if you cannot deal with the situation, let us sign a letter of discharge. And so they signed a letter of discharge, and I was discharged from that hospital. Going to where? I was out of faith again. They took me to the house of God. That was a mad decision. That was like a fatal decision. But there in the house of God, because when all is lost, all we have to do is to turn back to Jesus. When doctors are giving up and there's no hope coming from anywhere, the only way to turn to is to turn to Jesus. And so we went back to church, and somewhere, somehow, I was dead in the church with prayers and all this thing going on. But I believe that one day, that's what my story is about. One day, one fine morning, whilst I was lying down there helplessly, I saw a light coming from heaven somewhere, and the light flashed by my face. But in that light, all of a sudden, my system gained strength. Somebody who couldn't walk for almost about 3 months, all of a sudden, once that light flashed by my face, I said to myself, can I go and wee-wee? And I look around, and there was nobody around to help me. And so out of pain, out of anger, I got out of that bedridden situation. And I got down in a weakly position somewhere, somehow, juggling my way through. I went to the washroom all by myself, and I walked back all by myself. I didn't know what I was doing, but all around, I looked around me, and there was jubilation. There was celebration all around. I looked at them, what is happening? And they told me, oh, you could not walk. It's been 3 months since you've been in this situation. But all of a sudden, the God that answered by fire, that God came through for you. And I am standing here right now as a testament that Jesus is still alive. And so anytime I preach, anytime I handle any situation, I've come to one understanding that this devil is not a gentleman. We are not dealing with a gentleman. We are dealing with a wicked force. So if you are going to deal with that wicked force, we ought to be strong in our partnership with the Holy Ghost. Strong in our partnership with the Holy Ghost. In Micah chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says that all people everywhere walk in the name of their God, and we also shall walk in the name of our God. All people everywhere walk in the name of their God, and we also shall walk in the name of our God. People of God, I'm here to make a point that we are living in an age and time wherein it's an evil time. People are chanting everywhere. People are calling upon their gods. There's a whole lot of religious evil activity going on. Everybody is calling upon his God. We have the big God on our side. And so we cannot be silent. It is time to call upon our God more than ever before. It is time to call upon our God than ever before. And I'm saying again that there is a war. There's a war going on in the spirit right now. Right now, when you look at what is happening all over the nations of the earth, there's terror, there's fear, there's a whole lot of panic, and the church is under heavy attack. There's no liberty, there's no freedom. Then the church is an attack. But this is the time God is calling upon his sons and daughters to arise like men of war and stand in the gap, stand in strong partnership with the Holy Ghost and declare the goodness of the Lord. In Psalm 107, verse 23, the Bible says that they that go to the sea in ships and do business with God in the deep, there are those that shall see the wonders of the Lord. Those that go to the sea and ships doing business with the Lord in the deep, they are those that shall see the wonders of the Lord. That means that it is about time that we get very deep, intensely spiritual with our relationship with the Lord. It's not a time for us to be casual. It's not a time for us to be slow. This is a time to be intensely spiritual. This is why the partnership of the Holy Ghost becomes so strong, becomes so crucial, becomes so critical. Partnership of the Holy Ghost. And so what is this partnership? When we say we are in partnership with the Holy Ghost, what are we saying? Partnership with the Holy Ghost. In understanding as the Holy Ghost, help me. Partnership with the Holy Ghost, number one, means that the sense of fellowship, the sense of longing, the sense of belonging, the sense of intimacy with the Holy Ghost. Intimacy with the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it says that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What is this fellowship? They call it koinonia. They call it communication. We call it interaction. We call it intimacy. We call it a relationship with the Holy Ghost. Number two, what is this partnership with the Holy Ghost? It means that working together with the Holy Spirit to achieve a divine agenda. Working together with the Holy Spirit to achieve a divine agenda. In John chapter 14, verse 16 and 18, the Bible reads and it says that Jesus talking said to the disciples that, I pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he shall abide with you forever. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I leave you a helper. In other words, he's expecting us to partner with the Holy Spirit in achieving a divine agenda. He's our partner. He's our helper. He's our sustainer. The Holy Ghost. There's nothing that we can do, brethren, without the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I believe tonight is going to be awesome. We can't do much. There's nothing we can do without the cooperation of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we talk about faith, faith shows up. When we talk about the love of God goes into action. When we speak about prosperity, prosperity gets to be manifested. And when we talk about divine healing gets into operation. That's what tonight we are talking about, the Holy Ghost. And anytime you talk about the Holy Ghost shows up. Bible said in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it said, whilst Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And whilst I'm talking right now, I know and I believe in my spirit that the Holy Ghost is coming upon households. The Holy Ghost is coming upon ministers. The Holy Ghost is coming upon the sons and the daughters of God. The Holy Ghost is coming upon our businesses. The Holy Ghost is arising upon us one more time. Because when we talk about him, he always shows up. Let somebody give me an amen somewhere. When we talk about the Holy Ghost, he always shows up. Partnership of the Holy Spirit. Partnership. 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 And so connecting it back to the initial testimony, the story that I gave about how I was hospitalized. When I came out of that situation, I said to myself and I said to the Lord, Lord, never in my life am I going to go through this situation anymore. Never in my life am I going to allow the devil to toy with my destiny anymore. Never in my life am I going to find myself hospitalized somewhere and helpless. Never in my life am I going to give my destiny to the chances. So Lord, show me what I must do to sustain myself, to keep myself going, to win the battle of life. And I remember in my state of that communion with the Lord, Holy Ghost came through to me and he said to me, son, if you are going to win this war of life and maintain your redemptive rights, your assignment is to maintain intimacy, partnership with the Holy Ghost. Intimacy, partnership. And I said, Lord, I don't understand that. How do I maintain intimacy with somebody I cannot see? How do I maintain a relationship with somebody I can't see? That's difficult. I said, Lord, I think in terms of images. If I can see the image, I can appreciate it. So, Lord, if you can help my understanding, unveil to me this unseen personality of the Holy Ghost so that I can maintain the intimacy as a requirement for this partnership. If you can take me through the pages of scriptures, reveal to me who is this Holy Spirit. Help me to understand him. I need to know who he is so that I can have a better understanding of related to him. And people of God, you know what? God will always answer our requests. God will always and always answer our questions. And the Lord says, son, I'm going to help you. I said, thank you very much, Lord. How are you going to help me? Because I want to have an image. I want to have something to connect to. I cannot connect to something I can't see. He said, son, number one, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, do you remember that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, I came to them as a voice walking the cool of the day. Say, yes, Lord. It's true, you came to them, walking to them in the cool of the day. What was that? And the Lord said to me, son, this is because you know that I am the Father. I am always seated on my throne. I don't move. I'm seated on my throne. And you also know, son, that by this time, Jesus is the Word, and he has not become the flesh. So he has always been my word. But then if I'm walking the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam, that might be the Holy Ghost working in fellowship with them. I said, thank you, Lord. That's the Holy Ghost as a voice working. Yes, that was the Holy Ghost as a voice working. Can you help me more? Yes, Lord. Say yes, the Lord. He said, I can help you the more. And he said, son, do you remember that in Genesis chapter 8, when Abraham had an encounter with the three angels, one of them said to them, that Abraham is my friend. And the Bible said, the Lord said to Abraham, that Abraham is a friend of the Lord. And so he cannot hide from Abraham the thing that he had decided to do. I said, Lord, sure. So the three angels that came, one of them was you. He said, yes, one of them was me. One of them was surely me. And I came to visit. I came to visit. I beg your pardon. In Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 17. In the verse 17, the Lord started speaking to Abraham. And we got to know that as a matter of fact, out of those three men that came, three angels that came, one of them was the Lord himself. If it was the Lord himself, and the Father is seated on the throne, and the Son is always the Word, then who is this Lord that just appeared to Abraham? That's the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, Lord, you are helping me. I'm getting it. And then what more? In Genesis chapter 32, the verse number 24 and 30, we speak about Jacob having an encounter with a man. And once Jacob had an encounter with that man, the Bible have said, I am not allowing it to go until thou hast blessed me. The Bible said, the Lord asked Jacob, what is thy name? The Lord asked Jacob, what is thy name? That means that the Lord was the one that was actually having an encounter with Jacob. But who is this Lord? That's the Holy Ghost. One more time there. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1 to 15, we'll not read all. We'll just read the verse 15. The Bible said yet again that at the burning bush, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the flame of fire in the burning bush. And the Lord said to Moses, don't come close, for the place where thou standest, that place is holy. I said, sure, the angel of the Lord. And then the Lord appeared to Moses. So who is this angel of the Lord? And who is this Lord that appeared to Moses in this bush? And said to Moses, that don't come closer. The Lord said to me, yes, son, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. It was the one that had an encounter with Moses. I said, sure. And how about when Moses was leading the children of Israelites out of Egypt? He said, when they were going, Exodus chapter 30, verse 21, he said, the Lord led them like the pillar of cloud by the day and the pillar of fire by the night. The Lord led them. The Lord led them. The Lord led them. That's another manifestation of the Holy Ghost right there, moving before them as a pillar of cloud and as a pillar of light. I said, oh my Lord, that means that Lord, you're helping me. The Holy Ghost has got shape and form. It's just a personality like any one of us. That's things like myself. That's things as any one of us. I said, thank you, Lord. One more. And in Daniel chapter 3, the verse number 24 up to 26. There again, Nebuchadnezzar put the three boys into the fire, the burning furnace. And whilst they were there, all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar rose up and spoke and said unto the counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered, said the Lord, true, O king, we're putting three men. And Nebuchadnezzar responded, but what is this thing that I see? I put on three men there, but all of a sudden, I am counting and I can see 1, 2, 3, 4. Who is this fourth person? I count again. I can see 4, 3, 2, 1. Who is this fourth person? And Nebuchadnezzar said, I saw the fourth person as the one like the Son of Man. Oh, who is this one? Looking like the Son of Man. Remember, Jesus said, I'll give you another comforter, just like myself. That's the Holy Ghost right there. The Holy Ghost was right there with the three Hebrew boys inside of the furnace. Oh, I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You are inside with them inside of the furnace. We are not alone. We are never alone. The Holy Ghost is always with us. We are never alone. I came here to declare to somebody hearing me right now. But the Bible says, when you go through the fire, it shall be with you right in the fire. When you go through the valley, the Lord shall be with you everywhere you go. I said, when you pass through the waters, it shall not overflow thee. I came here with the word of the Lord to somebody right now. But it doesn't matter what you're going through. Yeah, the word of the Lord, the comforter shall be with you all the days of your life. You are never alone. You are never all by yourself. Regardless of the situation you are going through right now, remember that God is with you inside of the furnace. The Holy Ghost was with the three Hebrew boys. My God, the partnership of the Holy Ghost. So we are having an intimacy, not with an inanimate object. No, intimacy with a real person, with a real personality, with the feeling and emotions, with the Holy Ghost himself. And from that day, my understanding, my relationship, my encounter, my communication what the Holy Ghost changed totally and completely. I talk to him as a friend. I talk to him as a brother. I get up in the morning. I said, Holy Ghost, welcome. Thank you for a good night's sleep. Welcome for a new day. Can we begin the day? And sure, the Holy Ghost helped me throughout the day. When the day is getting tougher, I say, Holy Ghost, help me one more time. And all of a sudden, surely, the Holy Ghost also shows up. And when the day ends, I say, Holy Ghost, thank you one more time for working with me throughout the day. I am conscious of the presence of this precious personality. We are talking about partnership. And intimacy is the anchor of partnership with the Holy Ghost. If you are ever going to maintain a strong partnership with the Holy Spirit, we need to be intimately related to the Holy Spirit. Intimately related. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Here again, the word of the Lord goes. And the Bible said, he said, you shall go and pray, and you shall find me. If you shall seek me with all of your hearts, if you shall seek me, and search for me with all of your heart. People of God, here is the formula in seeking, in finding the Lord. God is findable, my God. We can seek for him and we can find him. We can search for him and we can locate him. The key, the pathway, is seeking for God with all of our hearts, with everything inside of us. Seeking from the innermost of our being. Oh. Innermost of our being. Seeking for the Lord. Searching for him. Like David said, as the deer panted after the water brooks, so my soul panted after thee. When our soul can pant after the Lord, when our mind, our emotions can pursue the Lord, can chase the Lord in the dry and dusty places, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, will be found of us. Let somebody shout an amen somewhere. God is findable. Intimacy with the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, one more time. Seeking for the Lord. Pursuing his presence. Maintaining the intimacy. Oh. With the Father. This is a game changer. This is what is going to make us stand tall above all else. People of God, I came here with an announcement that we are in the last days of the last days of the church. And God said, in the last days, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, he said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. It shall come to pass that in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top. In the top. No, not on the top. In the top. In the top. It means that we are already at the top, inside, where nobody can topple us. Where we are already there. We are already established at the top. Nobody can topple us. He said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all hills. And many shall say, let us go into the house of the Lord, into the house of Jacob, to the people of God, to learn of their ways.
We are the end time church. We are the people God is looking for. We are the army God is waiting for. We are that army to teach the world where to go, how to get results. Because by prophetic decree, our results will be outstanding. Our results will be amazing. Jesus is not coming back for a weakling church. He's coming for a mature, grown, born, chewing church. And we are that people. If we are going to walk in this prophecy, the key is intimacy with the Holy Ghost. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Last week, I related about how my encounter with Papa just turned my life around. And when I came back, I'd already been organizing crusades around the villages in Ghana here. And in one of the crusades, as I was going, I called Papa and I said, Papa, I'm going to this crusade. So can you just pray with me? Papa said, yeah, sure. I'm going to pray with you. Papa prayed with me. And then whilst we are discussing scriptures, Papa started discussing Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Oh. And he said, the people that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. The people that know their God, the people that know their God, knowledge of God, knowledge of the Holy Ghost, intimacy with God brings amazing results. The people that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Papa shared that scripture with me. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now I know how to do exploits. Oh my God. And up until that time, we'll be having this crusades and we go, there's nothing spectacular. Nothing happens. It's just, we just preach to them. We win a few souls and then we come back. But this time, we went into the crusade with full knowledge of the Holy Spirit, that the knowledge of Him will bring us into exploits. My God. We went into the crusade first day, nothing spectacular. Second day, nothing spectacular. But on the third day, once we are about to run up the crusade, all of a sudden, we saw that people were just screaming and shouting all over the place. What is going on here? It's a blind eye open? No. It's a deaf and dumb talking? No. It's a cripple walking? No. But what is going on? We saw a gentleman walking to us, to the altar. Boom! And once he was coming, everybody was jubilating. So I walked to the gentleman, and I looked at the gentleman in the face, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said to me, hit his stomach. So I hit his stomach 3 times. Pam, pam, pam. And then this gentleman fell on the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost. And then when he woke up, he looked at me, shook his head, shook his stomach, just turned around, and he said, what did you just do? I said, I didn't do anything. I just touched your stomach. And he said, nobody in the past 20 years has touched my stomach. I said, why? He said, because in this town, everybody knows me. I am the Lord of this town. When I talk, nobody talks back. It's like the area gang. I checked the entire community. And so that is why when he was coming, everybody was jubilating. And I said, so what happened to you? He said, I don't know. But all of a sudden, I felt like I am loosed. Forces have left me. It feels I am free. I feel I'm not under any burden. I feel like my life is whole. And so I came forward to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let somebody give an amen somewhere, whatever you are hearing me. Knowledge of God. In a split second, arrested somebody who has been hijacking the whole city, hijacking the whole town, just by one revelational knowledge of the Holy Ghost. This gentleman gave his life to the Lord. He said, I've traveled around countries across Ghana to Francophone countries and other dangerous countries I don't want to mention, just to go and seek for charms. But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost swallowed up all those charms under the power of the Holy Ghost. Talking about the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, a partnership with the Holy Ghost. On that same crusade, thank you, Holy Ghost, when we were coming back, on the way, I believe that I've shared this testimony with Papa some time back. On the way, our car stopped in the middle somewhere. So I got to ask the team, what is happening? Why has the car stopped? Has it developed a brake problem somewhere in it? Mechanical problem? They said, no, evangelist, nothing has happened. So I said, but why? They looked at each other. They said, we forgot to buy petrol, gas on the way. I said, so what do? We are in the middle of the jungle. What do we do here? It's not safe. You've run out of gas. We need to move on. What do? But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said to me, what do you have? So I turned to the gentleman and I said, what do you have here? They said, well, we don't have anything. We only have water. I said, that's right. Pour the water into the gas tank. They said, no, we can't do that. I said, pour it into the gas tank. Well, they obeyed. They poured it. I said, spark the car. They sparked the car. People of God, like the dream of a night, like it is Sunday as a dream to me today. The car sparked. The ignition worked. The car moved. The car traveled the distance. Covered almost about 30 minutes into town. Without stopping. Along the way, the car stopped. Again, the jungle. I look around, I said, what happened? They look at me, I said, well, I think the petrol we put in got finished. So take the petrol again, pour it inside. This time I'm in the water. But I can see there's no more water. Take it, pour it in. They pour it in again, spark it up. Then all of a sudden, the ignition pick it up, the driver sat in. We drove up to a point where we met a gas filling station. Then lo and behold, the car stopped. I looked at them and I said, Jesus has completed a miracle. Buy gas, put it in, and let's drive back. We bought gas, top it up, and we drove back to our car. In the same car, no breakage, no damage. The car is still functioning on the road as we speak now. How is that possible? They that know they are God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. I want to speak over somebody's life right now. Whilst you are hearing me under this ocean, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The hand of God is going to be strong upon your life. But you will do things that will amaze yourself. The supernatural from now will become natural over your life. Let somebody shout a bigger amen somewhere. The supernatural will become natural. The supernatural will be ordinary. The supernatural will be common to you in your homes, in your workplace, in your church, in your service to God. I prophesy under this ocean right now that the Holy Ghost is going to have his way, so much so that the supernatural will become natural to you. Let somebody who believes shout a bigger amen somewhere. In the name of Jesus, intimacy. Well, briefly, let me talk about the benefit of intimacy with the Holy Ghost whilst we are getting close. The benefit. I've alluded to some few benefits. Number one benefit of our intimacy with the Holy Ghost is divine wisdom. Divine wisdom. Once we relate to the Holy Ghost, wisdom is made available. Wisdom is made available. Moses is one man that had so much intimacy with the Holy Ghost. So much intimacy. So much so that Moses can spend time before the Lord. And by the time he comes back, his face is already shining with the glory of God. What is about Moses? Intimacy. And when you read the Bible, in Acts chapter 7, when Philip was given an encounter about the Israelites, he spoke at Moses and he said, Moses was wise in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Egyptians. And Moses grew mighty in wisdom. Why? Because Moses had intimacy with the Lord. Another person that had so much intimacy with the Lord this time around is David. David had so much intimacy with God, that when we read from, thank you, Jesus. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20. Talking about David, the wisdom of David was described as, David was as wise as the angel of the Lord. Thank you. To fetch about this a form of speech, have thy servant Joab done this thing. And my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of the angel of God to know all things that are in the earth. My God. David was as wise as the angels of the Lord to know all things that are on the earth. My God. Michael, that somebody with intimacy with God, full of wisdom, full of wisdom, full of wisdom and creativity. Second benefit. Second benefit from intimacy with the Lord is divine direction. When we have intimacy with the Lord, the Lord direct our path. Everywhere we move to, the Lord direct our path. As long as we have intimacy with the Lord, we are never alone. We are never alone. We are never alone. We are never alone. Divine direction. Divine direction. Psalm 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside the still waters. Psalm 23 verse 1 to 3. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. And he restored my soul. Why? Why? Because the psalmist David has this intimacy with the Lord. So much so that every step of the way, the Lord directs his path. The Lord is ever ready to direct us if we are ready to obey. He is ever ready. The Lord is ever ready to direct our path if we are ready to obey. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 said, call upon me, for I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. When we are committed to the leadership of the Lord, when we are committed to the following the Lord, the Lord will be committed in leading us. Last week when I was speaking, I got to somewhere and I mentioned that when life was so tough, life was so hard for me and I didn't know what to do, all that I have to do is go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord, can you just help me? And lo and behold, the direction of the Lord came to me and the Lord said, arise and go to Dr. Morley's School of Evangelism, World Evangelism, and be ordained. And out of that one direction, one divine direction, one step that I took, I said last week that I did not even have a transportation fare. I didn't have transportation fare. both ticket to go and inward transportation. But I obeyed the law. The law backed me up. And people of God, I can't begin to talk about testimony upon testimony that has come out of that one obedience to the law. I share that when I met Papa and Papa gave me the word, the only seed I could sow was just my last transportation money. How much was it? It was just a token. But I can tell you right now, people of God, to the glory of God, that just within under one year, we are putting up a building, a structure. We call it the prayer city. And under one year, more than $100,000 have been invested into that project already. How is this possible? From nowhere, nothing, to that far. Only divine direction can produce that kind of resource. I want to speak to somebody right now that you are having challenges in one area of your life. My prayer for you is that may you hear a voice behind you telling you which way to go. May you hear a voice instructing you where to go. May you hear a voice telling you the next step to take. May you hear a voice that will correct your path in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let somebody hear me say an amen somewhere. But briefly, on divine direction, I cannot do justice to this. But without telling you briefly, one of the four major ways that God is going to direct our path as we maintain intimacy with the Lord. Number one, God is going to direct us through his word. Psalm 119 verse 105. He said, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." We know that already. So by the word of the Lord, God will always direct us. He will instruct us through his word. Number two way that God is going to direct you is through the voice of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21, he said, "You shall hear a voice behind you telling you which way to go." And number three way that God is going to lead you, I'm running through very quickly because of my time. He said that the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The witness of the Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost inside of us. The Spirit of God is inside of us. He's going to direct us. He said the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit there is capital in King James, meaning the Holy Ghost bears witness with my spirit, with your spirit, that we are the children of God. It means that by the witness of the Holy Ghost, he begins to direct us. He begins to instruct us. If there's joy in what you're about to do, if you feel excited in what you're about to do, if the Holy Ghost just nags you on it, and there's joy inside of your heart, there's peace inside of you, it's a clear indication that God is directing your path. And number four way that God is going to direct you quickly is the counsel of his prophets. The counsel of his prophets. Oh, I can't remember how many times I've enjoyed this kind of counsel from Papa, from our Father in the Lord. I've enjoyed this kind of counsel several times. I can't recount all of them. But let me share one quick testimony related to that so that we'll know the essential place that the counsel of the prophets play in our lives. Just last year, as doing a project, a contract for someone, in the middle of that, I got another offer somewhere, and so I told those people that, you know what, I got another offer, so I am leaving. And the MD called me, and he said, "Well, have you thought through your case very well?" I said, "Yes, I have thought through it very well." And he said, "I want to give you some time. Go and think about it very well. And if you are sure you want to go, no problem, come and tell me. But in the meantime, people of God, hear me out, because this is what a testimony is. Already, I had spoken to Papa about this step I'm about to take. And Papa prayed with me. And Papa said, "Son, I hear the Lord said, he's bringing you into dimensions He's raising you from levels into dimension. I said, thank you, Papa. I don't understand what that dimension means, but I received that. And fast forward, my enemy called me and he said, don't resign now, because I have looked at your contract and I realized that for the past months, where your salary is supposed to be, that's not where it is. And so I have spoken with my executives that should be re-looked. Your contract should be re-evaluated, and we are placing you at where your salary has to be. I said, thank you very much, Andy. Thank you very much. But I am still going to resign. I'm still going to take the other offer. He said, young man, go home. Think about it. When you still want to resign, come and tell me. I went home. I thought it through. I came back. I told him that I'm still resigning. He looked at me and he said, you know what? We have already placed you on this salary scheme. We are not going to change it anymore. Number one. Number two, whatever the case might be, this is pandemic. We are working from home anyway. So can you work from home on the same salary offer? Work from home and then still do what you want to do. Can you do that? I said, why not? I take the challenge. I work from home. You will pay me as you are paying me. At the same time as doing the second job. So I was living in Ghana where unemployment is so high. Yet still, by a counsel of a prophet, I was still running two jobs at the same time. Two jobs paying higher than I should have been paid. Divine direction. Getting instruction from his prophets. How that can save us. How that can give us more leverage in life. And I want to pray for somebody right now. That may your ears be popped open. That from now, you will hear the voice of your prophet. That when your prophet speaks, you will not miss it. You will hear it. In the name of our Lord Jesus. And quickly, as we are beginning to round up, the next advantage about the intimacy with God is the glory of God. The glory of God. When you maintain intimacy with the Lord, the glory of God shows up. Everywhere you go, the glory of God shows up. And quickly, the glory of God, it means five things. Number one, the glory of God is the goodness of the Lord. Moses had prayed, he said, God, show me your glory. And the Lord said, Moses, I will not show you my glory, but I will cause my goodness to pass. I'll cause my goodness to pass by you. Exodus chapter 33, the verse number 18 and 19. He said, show me your glory. And God said to him, Moses, I will not show you my glory, but I'll cause my goodness to pass by you. When my goodness passes by you, you will see my glory. The glory of the Lord is the goodness of the Lord. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible speaking said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And it said, I'll fill this house with my glory one more time. And the glory of the latter house shall be more than the former house. What is the glory? It's the goodness of the Lord. It's the prosperity of the Lord. When you become intimate with the Lord tell you what is goodness, what is glory. Let somebody shout an amen. Because whatever you are, and your seated position, and your employment position, and whatever jobs you are doing, the goodness of the Lord, it's going to come through. Number two, what is the goodness of the Lord? It means the love of God. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. The Lord is going to surround you with his love. The Lord is going to surround you with his goodness. What is the glory of God? It also means that order and structure. When the goodness, when the glory of the Lord come upon your life, the Lord begin to put order and structure into your life. The glory of God makes sure that you do not spend anyhow. You don't mismanage your funds. But make sure that you are on point, because destiny is measured in time. So the Lord makes sure that your time is ordered. Your time is arranged. That no time stealers, no gift killers was still your time. When the glory of God comes upon your life, the Lord gives you speed with time that you begin to gain control over time. What it takes others years because of the glory of the Lord, it takes you months to do it. What it takes others months, when the glory of God comes upon you, it takes you just days to do it. And I prophesy one more time that the glory of the Lord is going to come upon somebody's life, that the Lord will fast track your way. What again is about the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord also means that the Lord begins to reward you with youthfulness. Youthfulness. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20. Youthfulness. The glory of the Lord makes you young every time. You don't grow old. No. There shall be no more than an infant of this, nor an old man that had not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner be 100 years old shall be accursed. The child shall die 100 years old. The righteous shall die at good young age. But the glory of the Lord is upon your life. The more your age are added, the fresher you become. Look at Papa. Look at Mama. Look at Papa's love. I said, Papa is always looking young. He's always looking fresh. Why? The glory of the Lord. You are not aging, but you're always looking fresh and refreshed. May that be somebody's story from now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And once I'm running up quickly on this one, how do we unleash? How do we unleash this glory of God? How do we sustain the glory and the intimacy with the Lord? And I'm running up with that quickly, and then we'll just pray shortly. Number one that we have to do in maintaining the intimacy with the Lord is passion for his presence. Passion for his presence. Passion for his presence. Passion for his presence. Seek God early. Seek God early. Number one, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. For the sake of time, I read quickly. He said, they that seek me early shall find me. Seek God with your whole being. Seek God with your whole being. We read already. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Seek God with your whole being. Seek God with your mind. Seek God with your mind. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Seek God with your mind. Seek God with your means. Once you are seeking God with your means, seeking God with your mind, seeking God early, you are demonstrating your passion for the Lord. And once you maintain your passion, the Lord fills you more of himself and tightens and smoothens and makes your intimacy so sweet with the Lord. What is the second thing we must do to sustain the intimacy with the Lord? Stand for God. Stand for God. Stand for God. Stand for God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be bold with the gospel. Be bold with the message. Stand for God. And number three thing to do to maintain the intimacy, dedication. 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 Dedication to the things of God. Dedication to the work of God. Dedication to his business. Dedication to his house. Dedication to his service. Dedication to everything that our hand findeth to do. And finally, to maintain and sustain this intimacy, express your love for God. Express your love for God. And I'm ending with this now because I want to really deal with this now. I'm talking about our love for God. Two kind of words. Love for God and the love of God. We know about the love of God because the love of God is God's love. God expressing his love to us. But now, in intimacy, we need to express our love for God. Our love for God. God loves us, but we need to prove that we love the Father. Abraham proved his love for the Father. Moses proved his love for the Father. Jacob proved his love for the Father. David proved his love for the Father. Jesus proved his love to the Father. If we are ever going to be exalted, if we are ever going to be promoted, if we are ever going to be blessed, if the prosperity mandate is going to work in our lives, it's about time that we express our love for the Father. Our love for the Father must be hot and burning in our heart. Everywhere we go, the passion of the Lord must be seen in our lives. God must know that we love him. God must know that this son, this boy, this mother, this sister, this brother, this elder, this minister love the Lord. My prayer for you right now is that from today, the love of God will come upon you and you will be energized so much that you will express your love to the Father. I pray for you that in the name of God, every other name, as you administer, as you express your love for God, the joy, the peace, the blessing of the Lord shall never leave your household. The Lord bless you. The Lord enlarge you. The Lord expand you. The goodness of the Lord be upon you. I am praying with you right now that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Let somebody who is hearing me right now shout a bigger amen somewhere. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord bless you for having me right now. And I believe that somebody's life has been blessed. Somebody's life is turned around. The joy of the Lord is your portion. Maintain the partnership with the Holy Ghost. That is our ticket to a world of exploits. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you. The hand of God be upon you. In the name of Jesus, somebody who is ceremony is blessed. Let your amen be louder to the Lord.
Reverend Daniel, what an amazing word that you just shared with us right now. Everything that you just spoke to us about, if we look at the life of Jesus Christ as it relates to the Father, he came in flesh of man, and everything he did, it was what he saw the Father do. That was his life of intimacy. And as you spoke about the Holy Spirit, Jesus, who came and showed us how to be intimate, how he was intimate with the Father, that he did nothing outside of what the Father was doing. He said, as you said, I'm going to send another just like me. And then we can be intimate with the Holy Spirit. You gave us some really good points of the benefits that we get: divine wisdom, we get divine direction, we get the witness of the Holy Spirit. We get to have the prophet speak into our lives. We get the glory of God on our lives. And then you spoke about we have to maintain that. It's so important that we have to maintain. We maintain our marriages. We maintain our homes. We have to maintain that relationship. It is not something that just happens. We have to work at it. Man of God, thank you for the word that you've given us. Now, we ask you for some time. You've given us all the points here. Can you just give us a few key prayer points that we can concentrate on to solidify this word, that we can take some prayer points? You can pray over those prayer points with us, and we can take them down to continue to pray. I'll turn it back to you.
Sure.
Praise the Lord.
Sure. The Lord bless you, sir. The Lord bless you, sir. There's a few prayer points I want us to pray on. But whilst I was coming here, if you permit me to do this, the Lord spoke to my heart powerfully. And from Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 11. The Lord ministered this word to me because this verse is like it's like my inheritance. As one verse that my mom cherished so much, and whilst I was coming to this meeting, I broke into tears because the verse came so strong in my heart, and I like to read it. If it can be on the screen again, it said, "Leave thy fatherless children, and I'll preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me." I said it's my inheritance because I lost my dad at a very early age. And my mom, being a widow, was taking care of almost 5 boys and didn't know what to do in the midst of all this unemployment and everything. In the midst of that, this verse came strong to my mom, and it became our inheritance. And every morning we'll be praying with it, And he said, the Lord said to me that I should hand all of you children over to the Lord, and he's going to take care of me. And lo and behold, years have gone, years have passed by without father, but the Lord, being our father, has so much taken care of us. And right now, almost every one of myself and my siblings, as the prophetic word is, are in the ministry because the Lord, my mother, handed us over to the Lord under the instruction of the Lord. When I was coming, the Lord said to me that in this meeting, some single parents will be listening to me right now. They are heartbroken. They are heartburdened. The burden of taking care of all those kids and all those children all alone by themselves. The Lord asked me to pray with you and tell you that there's a better day coming. The Lord is going to wipe away your tears. You will not see sorrow anymore. The Lord is going to empower you so much so that you will forget your widowhood state. You will forget your singlehood state. You will forget your loneliness because God is coming through for you. Just like the way the Lord take care of me all this while up until now, and I'm speaking to you right now and you're hearing me, that same grace, that darkness out, that grace is coming upon your life. It's coming upon your household, you and your children. In the name of Jesus. So, man of God, our first prayer topic is that the Lord asked me that let's pray. We're going to pray for all single parents across the body of Christ, around us, in Gap Church, within Dr. Zeno Ministry, and everywhere. All single parents, we are praying for them that the hand of God will sustain them. The hand of God will keep them alive. That in their lonely moment, in their painful moment, where there's no one to help them, the Lord alone will be their shield. The Lord will be their sustainer. The Lord will be their source and their supply. We are also praying for any fatherless child, any motherless child, anywhere across us, that the hand of God will be stretched towards them. That the hand of God is going to sustain them. That out of those children, that some can hear me now. Any eye that is hearing me now, that is coming from a single parenthood. The Lord asked me to tell you, there's a better day coming. There's a glorious day coming. And so I pray for you that the wisdom of God, divine supply, will be abundant in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And let somebody shout an amen to that. Number two, we are praying that the Lord will give us the grace to sustain our intimacy with the Lord. We will be hot on our prayer altar. We will be hot in our fellowship with the Lord. We will not be lukewarm. We will not dry up. We will not be empty. But we will be fervent in our service to the Lord. So we ask for grace in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. That grace will be abundant upon all families, upon all household. Grace will be abundant upon the Gap Church International and all its network of churches. That will maintain the fellowship, will maintain our connectivity, will maintain our influence, and will maintain our communion with the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus have I prayed. Amen and amen.
Amen. Evangelist, we want to thank you very much for taking this time. We know, again, it is late there. You're dressed sharp. You've come prepared for the word, and we thank you for your preparedness. We thank you for the word of God that came from your mouth, and we just want to bless you. May the Lord continue to bless you. May you continue to be his mouthpiece. May you continue to go from glory to glory in the Lord as you continue to reach for deeper intimacy with him. That when Moses said, show me your glory, Lord, that the Lord was pleased. He didn't hesitate. He said, I'm going to put you in the rock right here. I'm going to shield your face, because if you see me, you will die, but you're going to see the back of me and see my glory. May the Lord answer you that speedily as you continue to deepen your intimacy with him. We're going to release you right now because we know it's late. We appreciate you. Apostle sends his love and Pastor Maria. We bless you, and we hope to see you again soon. Bless you, Apostle. Bless you, maybe I'm speaking prophetically, but bless you, Evangelist. Daniel, may God bless you and keep you. God bless you.
Bye, sir. Bye-bye for now. God bless you. God bless you so much. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Saints, at this time, we're just going to take time now to collect our tithes and our offering. I think we can put the information up on the screen. I mean, with a word like this today, I think we need to seal this with an offering to the Lord to say, Lord, I know that we all desire that intimacy with the Lord. We all desire that deep love that the Lord can give us. And we also desire not only the intimacy, we also want the benefits. Who does not want to have the glory of God upon their lives? Who does not want to have divine wisdom and divine direction from the Lord? If you're serious about this, and I know we are, I know that Glory and Peace people are serious about the word, and we're serious about getting deeper with God. So at this time, take your time now to prepare your offerings. The information's on the screen. Let's just take time now to give your offerings, and then we'll prepare communion together, and then we'll pray and close. So we'll just take a moment to do that. Praise the Lord. So while you're doing that, we're just going to speak about communion. What a blessed thing it is to take communion. The Lord Jesus said, do this oftentimes in remembrance of me. You know, the thing that I consider about the Lord is that he said that he will not take communion again until we are with him. So this is like every time we do this, it's like a dress rehearsal of the time that when we are home with our Father and with Jesus Christ, our Savior, that's the next time that he is going to do communion. And when I think about that, it is not too far from now that you and I will be celebrating this precious gift with the Lord. So the Lord said to us that this is my body that I've broken for you. And he broke his body so that we might have wholeness in every single aspect of our lives. He said he gave us beauty for ashes. So there was an exchange that was made when he went to the cross, not only for salvation, but for the life that we would live in this realm. So we thank God. If you have your communion with you, this is the body that the Lord has given us. He's broken it for us so that we might be whole. Take and eat and be whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's eat. And the Lord said that this is the cup of blessing that he's blessed us with. This cup of blessing wipes away all sin and all shame from our lives. We know that when Adam and Eve sinned, that shame came upon them. When they were with the Lord and they were naked, they knew no shame. But the minute they ate of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, they all of a sudden knew shame and they also knew fear. Jesus Christ came to redeem us from all things. So we should not be walking in shame or walking in fear. The blood has also done that for our lives. So drink in confidence that we don't need to be shameful or fearful people in the Lord. Let's drink. At this time, saints, we're just going to say a prayer for all of us that are on YouTube and all of us here on Zoom as well. Let's just pray together and seal this blessing was given to us by Pastor Daniel. Father God, we just thank you for your blessings upon each of us this evening, Father God. We thank you for Pastor Daniel, Lord, and his ministry. We just pray, Father God, that you will continue to bless him and bless his entire household, Father God. Continue to bless the work of his hands and the ministry that you've afforded him, Father God. Lord, for the saints who are online who have heard the word, Father God, I just pray, Father God, that you would just impute in our spirit, Father God, the desire, the strong desire to serve you, Father God, to seek you deeper this year than any year before. Father God, you have shown yourself mighty and strong to us in this time and this season. You've kept us from this time of COVID. You've kept us employed. You've moved us to new employment, Father God. You've done so many things for your people. And Lord, we want to demonstrate our love to you, Father God, not just by receiving your blessings, Father God, but by getting to know you in a deeper way. So, Father God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you just meet with us, each and every one of us, as we seek you, Father God, that you will answer. As we ask, Father God, you will answer us. As we knock, you will open to us, Father God. And as we seek you, that we will find you, Father God. We pray that your blessings will be upon us, Father God, and your grace and your mercies will continue to abound in our lives. We thank you for your love, your mercies, and your grace. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Saints, bless you. We look forward to see you again tomorrow night. We have another great guest speaker coming on tomorrow night. So get yourself ready, get some rest, and be prepared. and we will see you all again tomorrow. God bless you all and have a restful night. Amen.